We completed Sorcerer's Stone. I watched Sorcerer's Stone. I think I did pretty good. I think I got like a 95 or at least a high 90, you know, like grade wise. In terms of accuracy, I was pretty happy with how accurately I got in the movie. There's some scenes where I was like, "Ooh, mistakes were made," but for the most part, I was pretty happy with it. I don't know if I'll feel the same after I do Sorcerer's Stone. So here we go, Sorcerer's Stone, a movie which I remember, but I think like the first movie, as we start moving into the second and third act, details will get fuzzy, lines will get lost, and we will probably. I think I'm gonna score like an 80. I think this movie's gonna get an 80. I think the movie I'm gonna do the best is the next one. The next two, I think I'm gonna do a really good job. This one is gonna be an 80. I don't think I'm gonna get close to 100, but that's fine. That's the fun of these things. So, without any more stalling, it's time to remember Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets from memory, since I have not watched the film in about 6 or 7 months. So it's been a while. So. Here we go. Here's to remembering a film I haven't seen in a while. I actually quite enjoy these. These are fun memory exercises. So let's do it. I want to apologize in advance if I get anything wrong. I know there's a lot of Potterheads here, as all the polls have been showing me. So please don't take offense if I butcher a classic film. Anyway, here we go. So it's gonna open on Privet Drive. I think it's like an aerial shot, like a not a crane, it's probably a helicopter. Drones weren't invented yet, so it's a helicopter shot of Privet Drive, probably CG now that I'm thinking about it. That pushes into like Harry's room. Harry's like reading the memory book that Hagrid gave him in the last film with his parents and stuff in it, and Hedwig is just making a real fuss about it. And then I think he turns to Hedwig and tells Hedwig something about how he can't let her out of the cage because of magic for some reason, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because do you need magic to undo a lock? But that's neither here nor there. So Hedwig's making a fuss, and I think it pisses off Vernon, and Vernon calls down or calls up for Harry, who has a room now. He doesn't live under a closet anymore. He's or under the stairs. He's living in a room, like his bedroom, which is like actually it's an upgrade. Should have had one all along, and if that was on the table from the beginning, I don't know why he didn't have one, but it's fine. So he goes downstairs and he is greeted by, I think Petunia's making like a cake or something. And it's like a gross looking cake. It has like a it's all frosting. It's like 100% frosting, 0% cake. And Harry is basically being, well, I think Harry's asking if he could let Hedwig out. And I think Vernon makes a statement about Harry's friends being freaky. Your freaky little friends. I think every time they use freak, I really remember that because of the way they say it. It's so like distinctive. Because in the first movie, Petunia calls Lily a freak with like a just so much inflection. And I think Vernon does the same when he says freaky little friends. He has a lot of inflection on the freak part of the word. I think that's why it's so distinctive in my mind. But yeah, so he insults Harry's friends, and basically Harry, I think, tells him that he hasn't been getting any letters from anyone, which is weird. And I think Dudley makes something. He's like, "Who would want to be friends with you?" Which mean. And then I think Vernon talks about the dinner that's coming up with the Masons, which is like the biggest deal of his life. I have no idea what Vernon does for a living, you know? So I think they go through like the schedule, the rundown for what they're doing for the night, and it's like Vernon is like, "I will tell a joke," and Petunia's like, "I will give them food," and then Dudley's like, "I will open the door," and then Harry has to say, "I will be up in my room, silent, and basically pretending I don't exist." And they're like, "Very good." So he goes upstairs to be quiet and pretend that he doesn't exist when he finds a house elf in his room, whose name is Dobby, who I think introduces himself right off the bat. I think, yeah, Harry is like, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm Dobby, the house elf." I don't think that's the line. Oh man, I think there's way more couth in this scene in terms of dialogue. But anyway, yeah, he introduces himself to Dobby. I think he offers Dobby a chair, and Dobby's like blown away. He's like, "I've never had such kindness from a wizard." Or he's like something about like Harry being great. He's like, I've heard about your greatness, but he never thought you'd treat me like an equal. And then I think Harry says something about, like, you probably don't meet a lot of, like, nice wizards. And then Dobby goes, I guess that's true. And then Dobby starts smashing his head against an armoire as punishment for saying such a ridiculous thing. And I think Harry tries to, like, wrangle in Dobby and get Dobby to not smash his head against objects. And then I think that's when Dobby basically pitches to Harry Potter not to go back to Hogwarts. And then Harry reiterates to Dobby that it's my home, and, like, it's, like, the only place in which people are, like, decent to me at all in any capacity. But Dobby's like, that's irrelevant because it's really dangerous and I don't want anything bad to happen to you. And maybe that's when Dobby shows Harry that he's been intercepting all of his mail, in which case Harry gets pissed at him. And then Dobby, I think, punishes himself yet again for stealing Harry's mail. I think it's the hand in the drawer, maybe, or head desk, one of the two. So Dobby hurts himself more. Harry obviously tries to intervene. I think this is when Vernon comes to the door and is like, what's going on up there? Either that, or they do the thing downstairs where they're like, oh, we have a cat upstairs, like this wild cat. One of those two things are true. I know Vernon does go up at some point, so I think they must do the cat bit first. I think when the Dobby's hitting his head against their armoire. And then I think they have to do the Vernon coming up, I think, later on in the scene. So basically tail ending the scene. So I think after Vernon comes up, Dobby basically says, you have to promise not to go back to Hogwarts. And Harry's like, no. So Dobby bails out of the room, runs downstairs, and then grabs the cake with magic and basically... force lifts the cake above Mrs. Mason's head. And, I mean, like, Harry's trying to, like, grab it at the same time, but the way it looks like Harry's carrying the cake and about to dump it on Mrs. Mason's head, which doesn't look good. Because Dobby then drops the cake, and then Miss Mason's now covered in cake. And everyone's looking at Harry, and I think Vernon apologizes, saying that, like, he's a troubled boy, and that's why he's been left upstairs, and that's why he didn't want him down here. But yeah, I imagine the one Vernon's joke, which he's been setting up this whole scene, is ruined. Because they keep coming back to this joke. This golf joke, which I really want to know the full length of the joke. But they do the classic movie thing where they show you the, like, either the setup of the joke or the end's two-thirds of the joke. But they never do the whole joke, you know? Like, they always do the classic, like, cut back to them, and they're like, and then they told him his wife wasn't his wife, it was a donkey. It's like one of those things, and then everyone's like, ha 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 ha, because, I hate it, it's so lazy, because, come on, write a joke, come on, I mean, just find a stand-up comedian, like, 10 minutes, it's all it takes. But it's fine. So yeah, they do the classic setup joke to no punchline, or punchline joke to no setup. And yeah, so that was happening under, I'm cutting back to that part of the scene because I forgot to mention that. That's been running, that's been an undercurrent under the scene the whole time. I think it's about golf, if I remember correctly. But anyway, Harry is now super punished because Vernon puts bars on his window and probably, again, continues to withhold meals and all the other terrible things they've been doing. I think he says, he's like, you're never going to see those freaky friends again or something. Or something about Hogwarts, one of the two. So then Harry's all sad because he's basically a prisoner in his own house when he hears a car driving through the sky. And he looks out his window and he sees, I don't even know what is that car? It's, is it a Dachshund? Is it? I don't know. That's a really, I'm really interested. I want to look it up, but that's against, like, the spirit of what this whole thing is, so I can't, like, look it up. Please put in the comments if you know what the car is, because it's gonna really bother me and I want to know, but I can't look up anything Harry Potter related while I do these. Like, I don't watch the movies, I don't read anything about the movies, I'm, like, trying to stay pure of any Harry Potter facts that would help me in this endeavor. So if you know, please just like write the name of the car, because that's gonna really, that'll make me feel better, because I really want to know, but I can't look it up for obvious reasons. So yes, please help me. Please look up the name of the car. But yeah, so whatever. This like baby blue British made car comes barreling through the sky to the window, and who is driving it but Ron Weasley, Fred, and George, who use like a hook to pull off the bars. And as the bars get pulled, I think Vernon and Petunia wake up with a bolt, and then Vernon comes running to Harry's room and starts doing all the million locks on his door, which is insane. Like, this man has like deadbolts and sliding locks. Like, why do you need so many locks? He's not going to break out like that. I mean, I guess he does have magic. But then at that point, why do you even have more than one lock? Like, he has magic. He can just, like, Alamora. Or, I mean, I guess he doesn't know. He's a Mongol, so. But still, it's a lot of locks. It's really incessant, because he keeps going through keys and trying to open locks. So meanwhile, as he's going through all the locks, Harry is loading up the car with his trunk, and then he gets Hedwig into, like, the passenger compartment. And as he's trying to jump in, I think Vernon busts the door open and grabs his leg. And then, There's like a skirmish, and Harry's like, let go of me. And Vernon's like, you're not going anywhere. And then he's like, no, let me go. And then he pulls the car, and I think Ron goes, drive, drive. And then Fred and or George, whoever's driving, I'm not sure, drives the car away, and Vernon falls from the second story window into a bush, which, I don't know. We don't ever find out what happens to Vernon. But the NHS is pretty good, so he's probably going to be fine. But yeah, he falls into a bush. And then they drive off. To the Weasley's Burrow, I believe is what it's called. The Burrow. I think they arrive by morning. Oh yeah, they also say happy birthday, Harry, to him. Because it was his birthday. There's a recurring theme of just, like, people showing up to save Harry on his birthday. Does that happen again in the series? Does Harry get saved on his birthday yet again? I'm trying to think. Maybe it's possible. I wonder. That's an interesting thought. How many times does Harry Potter get saved on his birthday? Because in the first movie it's his birthday, and in the second movie it's also his birthday. Birthdays have magic in them. That's probably why. Anyway, so shows up Weasley Hollow or Weasley Burrow, Weasley Hollow. And they go into the house after parking the car, and there's a bunch of magic stuff happening. There's like a washboard being washed by itself, and like just like shit doing stuff on its own. And there's like a clock with all the Weasley's faces on spoons, and it shows where they are, like home, work, away. But yeah, they're all like, you know, I think Ron's like, it's not much, but it's home. And Harry's like blown away by it, because duh, it's fucking amazing, Ron. Don't undersell your house. Your house is amazing, dude. Like, I don't understand how there's poverty in the Wizarding World when you have so much access to basically the creation and destruction of matter, you know? Once you can start destroying and creating matter, at that point, how is there poverty? You can build whatever house you want. You have magic. Like, the basic human necessities such as food, water, and, like, housing should be met. But anyway, that's a deeper discussion for like the world building at play here. but anyway, so I can't remember her name. Mama Weasley comes down the stairs furious at the children, because he's like, no note, empty beds. And then I think they're like, but they were keeping Harry as a prisoner. And then I think she goes, the whole scene is great, because she's like, not you, Harry. You're perfectly fine. You didn't do anything. But you, Ronald. And, like, she's furious at her children, but she's very kind to Harry, which is, like, a dynamic that plays out through the entire franchise. So there's that whole rigmarole. I think they all come down, and they're like, well, let's get a spot of breakfast. And they're basically, like, eating some food, some breakfast. I don't know if it's, like, porridge or something. I remember there's, like, biscuits and stuff. I think Ginny comes down the stairs, and Ron's like, she hasn't shut up about you all summer. And then she, like, looks at him like he's a ghost, Harry. She looks at Harry like he's a ghost and, like, freezes, then runs back upstairs. What else happens? The dad comes home. God, what's his name? Just Mr. Weasley? Does he not have a first name? I don't know his first name. Arthur Weasley, there we go. Arthur comes home from... Also, Percy's home still, because Percy hasn't graduated yet. He's, I think this is last year at Hogwarts. But yeah, so Arthur comes home and he goes, "Oh, my stars, Harry Potter. I've heard so much about you." And then he asks him about, like, what is the function of a rubber ducky? Because he works for the Ministry of Muggle Affairs or something, or Muggle Artifacts. Which, to his credit, I mean, he should probably know what that is. He works for, I mean, it's so interesting how disconnected the Muggle and human world is in J.K. Rowling's fiction. Like, there's no, like, I mean, there is some overlap. But it's astonishing how little sometimes wizards know about functional, like, Muggle stuff. Like, a credit card would baffle them. But yeah. What else happens? Oh, yeah, Errol the owl flies in, smashes into a window, and I think Percy has to go outside to get Errol, and they bring him in, and they look through the mail, and I think they realize that, oh, Harry, your mail has come here, too. Dumbledore doesn't really miss a beat. Because, yeah, Dumbledore's like, omniscient. I think. How did Dumbledore know? I mean, Dumbledore. Oh, this the lady across the road. That's how Dumbledore knew. I was like, how does he? How would he know that he left? No, it's that. Wait. Do you see her in the shot? I don't know. Maybe. Is there a close-up shot of a woman looking out of a window? If there is, and that's this movie. Oh my god. Foreshadowing, amazing. That's really good foreshadowing in a movie, especially since it doesn't come back to play until like 4 or 3 movies later. Yeah, because it could probably back to play in the 5th movie. Oh my god, I hope that's the case. I hope that she in fact looked out a window. I hope. Oh my god, that'd be so good. I don't know if that's true. This might be a false memory of mine, but if that's true, very cool. Very cool, filmmakers. You did a good job. If not, I am. These are the ramblings of a madman who doesn't remember anything. But yeah, I don't know what that name of that woman is. But she's like a squib, I think. But yeah, so. I think we're going to end it off here. Because the next scene is all the flu powder stuff and Diagon Alley. Which is a good segue until we get to Hogwarts. So I think I did a passable job with the introduction to this film. We haven't really set up the stakes or the conflict yet, but we will soon. We're basically still doing a little bit of world building y stuff and just setting up characters and time passing and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. We're also expanding the world. We're now taking you into a wizarding household instead of, you know, so it's a lot more world building in the opening of this film. I think it's good. I don't know how well I remembered it, but we'll see. You guys can be the judge of me. I would love to hear like a letter grade at the end of each of these. But yeah, with that being said, I've been Knight. I hope you've enjoyed my part 1 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I'll see you guys all next week.